KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate that. And that was a fantastic topic, Mike. Therapy Mike comes out with some very thoughtful stuff.
There you go. Tried my best.
And I really did. You did good, man.
Yeah.
You did pretty good. Now,
should have done take a load off.
Nope.
The Diggs news is very interesting, as he's not practicing today with an undisclosed injury. But he was on a microphone with Micah Parsons. And we've talked a little bit about some of the things they discussed, but I was kind of listening again, and I heard this little line, and I was kind of curious. Micah's going to ask the question, and then Trayvon's going to answer. But I was kind of curious if this is a suggestion, or if this is just I'm pointing fingers at anything.
What makes the offense able to adjust and make it so unique?
I feel like it was their coach. You know, they had great coaching, just adjusting to the things that we were running. Like, it felt like, you know, everything that they called was just a counter to what we were in, you know, and it was just like we was SOL. So, you know, they got good players. You know, Debo had a great game. Kittle, you know, Hall of Fame wide receiver, you know, Purdy's over here doing his thing as well. So, you know, they got pieces, you know, they got the right pieces. So they was executing.
So he threw out their coaching was the difference in that game.
Yeah.
They countered everything that we did, and we were SOL. We had no answers. And I am kind of curious, because I've never really experienced this. Maybe one time here, we've had a boss change.
Yep.
Other than that, we've been with Spittle almost the entire time. Mike, you've experienced going from one coach to another, having another coach come in. When that happens, are they looking at it going, well, he's not Dan Quinn, and he's not as good as Dan Quinn, or he's not getting the message across as well as Dan Quinn? It sounded like he threw the defensive coach under the bus there.
I'd say he did.
Okay.
A little bit it did.
I'm struggling with maybe Diggs is a smart guy. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, what makes you say that?
I want to ask you guys this off of him saying we're SOL with our coaching system. What coach is supposed to take Chauncey Golston, Mozzie Smith, Osi Adigazua, and who is it? Tyrus Wheat? Who's the other starter? Yeah. Didn't we just activate somebody to beat Carl Lawson? Sorry, Carl Lawson. I'm looking at depth chart here. He's behind Golston. What coordinator? Dan Quinn is supposed to get a pass rush off of those guys? I don't
that's the thing. I don't know if he's
like,
saying
I don't think Diggs is smart enough to realize right now you might have five Mike Bassicks rushing the passer that are like, what if you have five Mike Bassicks as your starting pitchers? All different hand, but like, dude, I got a 5 ERA for a reason. Like, mm-hmm. I'm taking a shot at myself here. You have guys that are at, I won't say a Adigazua. All three other guys and all of your backups are at best backups or don't belong in the NFL. Like, that's who you have. And then you guys can tell me Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker. I think a lot of people have taken shots at their overall talent this year. What are coaches supposed to do? And I feel like Diggs is not understanding. You have your two best defensive players out, Micah Parsons and Lawrence. What is a coach supposed to do at that point where he's dealing with non-talented players who are having to start in the NFL?
Yeah, and that is interesting, because he didn't blame the talent. He didn't say we just didn't have enough teeth for this battle. He immediately said we couldn't adjust to what they were doing. They were ahead of us. They were better chess players than we are. In this game.
So the thing that I thought, but I thought about this more offensively than opposed to defensively. So it might not work the exact same way. I always think if you don't have that talent, then you have to try to find a way to trick it up. Now, I know it's easier to trick it up offensively with your motion and everything like that, as opposed to defensively. But like, there was an overshown sack in the game that I thought came on some really good misdirection.
Yeah,
it was.
That was a nice sack.
And I think that's what I would like to see more. If there is a decreased level of talent, which we all agree right now with the injuries there is, maybe try some different, perhaps unconventional things. Now, we might come back here and be like, well, that was stupid.
I feel like he did.
Okay.
I was impressed with how many different looks he gave San Francisco. And the other thing, too, is, like, I'm not saying Mike Zimmer is a great defensive coordinator. Maybe his time has passed. Maybe he's just average at best. I'm not saying he is or isn't. But I think a lot of people, what am I supposed to do with this crap?
Yeah,
it's crap. They're running crap out there. Joseph is crap. Carlos Watkins is crap. It doesn't mean they don't belong in the NFL. They're third stringers. Mozzie Smith's a third stringer. He's having to start and play the majority of snaps. Like, what is Will Venable? What is Will Venable? Is he supposed to go over there and average five runs a game with the Chicago White Sox this year? Like, it's not fair.
And maybe, and let me also take this part of maybe its potential context too. Maybe he was just saying, giving a compliment to the opponent. Maybe he wasn't taking a shot at his coach.
He was just saying that one over there SOL was better about, like, our thing.
We didn't have an answer.
Man, they did a great job. They had us confused. We were working our hardest, but man, there were things that we were just struggling with. And then once you say that, you're like, dang it, shouldn't have said that. You just try to give credit. Hey, they had a great team. They had a great philosophy. They took advantages of some of our weaknesses, and we're trying our best to get better.
Yeah.
Hey, Micah, I'm talking to you right now. We're missing you. I know you're trying your best to come back, but man, can you make a difference when you're on the field? And we're missing Micah Parsons right now.
You know, go ahead, Kevin.
No. I agree. I agree with you.
I'm going to revert to this a little bit, because if that's being said on that podcast, you do feel like that's being said amongst players in that locker room.
Sure.
Well, Mike, you've talked about how you've been in a game and you just kind of looked at your teammate and you're like, we're done today.
I always remember Copy, who we had on, my buddy who's a Philadelphia Philly scout. I will always remember, we're in the bullpen and I've just got to Tucson, picked up by them, and they are having a bad start to the year. And like 3 weeks into the season, we're in Salt Lake City. And we lose another game, and their record at the time is like, I say our record, I guess, I'm barely there, is like 7-13. And he goes, it's official, we suck. You know, wow. As we walk into the clubhouse. That's how we feel, like when Trayvon Diggs is yelling at Mike Leslie. Guess what, Trayvon? We're not stupid. I bet you like basketball. I bet when you watch teams play basketball, like, that guy sucks. He doesn't know he can't play defense, whether it's Luka, who's like one of the best players in the league, but you're taking shots because at times Luka does suck on defense. Like, Trayvon, don't be so naive that we don't know that you criticize a lot of people in sports too when you're watching as a fan.
Yeah. And that's I kind of go back to the comeback. As I'm watching it, there was that line where he said, whenever you have a group of guys and they're all quiet, that means they're talking amongst each other about how bad things are. And then you got to find a catalyst for that. And theirs was a fight against another team.
Yes.
They focused all that energy on something else. Hell, if that's what it takes, and the Cowboys need to focus all their energy on the media, and that's going to be their, hey, we showed you, that's fine. I'm fine. I'll take that. I think every one of the media members would be like, all right, they're great. I would rather cover a Super Bowl. Like, whatever it is, they need to find that thing that brings them together, that's the bad guy for them. Do you remember what Dale Hansen did for Davin Dawson whenever he got those people to he got G-Bag Nation to rally with him?
He did.
Because they had a bad guy. We're the good guy. He's the bad guy. Rally against that guy right there. Cowboys need to find that right now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, former Wimbledon finalist and social media sensation turned pro pickleball player Jeannie Bouchard joins the show right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, we bring to you former Wimbledon finalist, social media sensation turned pro pickleball player. There's a lot happening there. Jeannie Bouchard, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. And we're a couple days away. I almost said a couple weeks. That is inaccurate. From the Lapiplasty Pickleball World Championships at Brookhaven Country Club in Farmers Branch. I want to go back to when you got involved in pickleball. And the first thing I saw from you was, pickleball is crazy. How has your opinion evolved over the year?
look, it's hard. People who hate on it or, you know, think it's an inferior sport are completely wrong. First of all, the singles game is very athletic. Of course, the court is like smaller than tennis, which is what I'm used to and what I've come from. But at the same time, the paddle's shorter. So you have to get up to the ball. And the ball is like a plastic wiffle ball, so it doesn't bounce to you. It kind of dies, so you have to, like, get up to it. So there's a lot of athleticism, a lot of footwork going on. And the hardest part for me was really the transition to the doubles game at the kitchen line, doing all those dinks, the drops, all that stuff. You know, I never did that in tennis, so it was a big learning curve for me.
Are you a supportive doubles partner, or are you perhaps what your partner would describe as intense?
Well, I am a very intense person, but I try to be super supportive because most of the time my partner is better than me. So I'm just grateful that they're playing with me and that I'm on the same court as them.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you also brought up a little bit of the differences in tennis. It's like hitting winners and passing shots. In pickleball, court space is a lot smaller and those are kind of less frequent. Yeah. What's your strategy then?
Yeah, you know, I'm so used to when I'm on the run in tennis, especially in singles, you usually swing and go for that passing shot because you have the ability to generate so much power with a racket and a tennis ball. In pickleball, you kind of want to do like a drop. So for me, it's hard to think about running full tilt and then slowing down your arm to be able to do a drop. It's like all these new kind of skills that I've had to learn, which is hard to rewire a brain that has been used to doing something totally different for 25 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Now, my buddy, his name is Pasquale Carmine Carboni. All right. I just want you to know he's going to be out there. Keep an eye out. He's a very competitive son of a gun. But he says that hitting opponents is fun. Do you find hitting opponents to be fun?
Well, I mean, sure, because I win the point. I'm not looking to hit them. But I do have to say I've been hit my fair share because being the newbie out there at the kitchen line, I'm like, oh, someone sped up on me and I didn't even realize. And I have like a tattoo now of a pickleball on my arm. So you got to be able to take the heat, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting. I like that. I like that answer.
Are you also required? Are there any actual pickles involved throughout the day, or like, do you eat more pickles or no?
That's a negative. Okay. I do like pickles just generally. And you know what? It's actually great for replenishing the sodium that you lose. There's these like companies that have come out with like pickle juice as like a form of like electrolytes and to replace what you lose when you sweat so much on the court. So I would recommend that if you're a heavy sweater. But otherwise, you know, I don't know why they came up with this name, pickleball. I have no idea where that came from, but you know, it's kind of an interesting one. I think that's why some people in the tennis world are like, pickleball, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just got back from Italy. And they like tennis a lot. You obviously probably know this from traveling overseas. And we have a thing here called Chicken and Pickle. It's like a restaurant where you can also play pickleball. And I felt like we could dominate Italy if we started a business called Pasta and Pickle, where we have pickleball.
Wow.
They don't have pickleball courts there from what I saw when I was traveling around Italy. They do have some tennis courts. So I was like, we could start a business called Pizza,
bigger.
Pasta, and Pickle there.
I love that. Tennis is huge in Europe. And then what's also big is padel. But pickleball is not quite as big in Europe as it is here in the States. So that sounds like a dream to me. I love Italian food. Not sure how the pasta will do with playing like right after.
Sure.
Maybe it's like you play first and then like you replenish the carbohydrates afterwards. That sounds like a dream. Invite me. I'll be there.
We're still workshopping it, and if you decide you want to be an investor, we'll let you.
We'll even put your name on it. You're more famous than us.
Yes, as we are talking with Jeannie Bouchard right here on 105.3 The Fan. What I'm curious about is the schedule that you're keeping, because obviously people have been familiar with you for tennis for a long time, and you're still doing things on the tennis front, also being involved in pickleball. How do you balance that?
It's actually been tough. I played a couple tennis tournaments this year and a lot of pickleball tournaments. So to switch back and forth, first of all, is quite difficult because, you know, your brain just gets used to one thing. And then suddenly you're like, I go from pickle to tennis. I'm like, oh, my God, the court's so big. The racket's so long. What's happening? So it's actually been tough to do a lot of my schedule. I've also done some like of the TV commentary with Tennis Channel and other, you know, sponsor and brand appearances. So I feel like I have four jobs right now, and I don't know why I signed up for all this, but I'm having a blast and I love, you know, working hard. And so it's just been so fun.
I'm not necessarily saying that this has taken up as much of your time yet, but you have obviously created quite the following as an influencer as well, as evidenced by the attention you've gotten for your Halloween costumes the last couple days. Is that fair to say?
Oh, totally fair. Look, it's a fun tool to use. I've, you know, used it authentically ever since it started back, I don't know what this was, like 10 years ago when I had my first couple years on tour and Instagram was just starting. And, you know, I think people appreciated the fact that I was just using it like a normal person, showing kind of behind the scenes and cool stuff, not just tennis every day, but like weird things from my travels and stuff like that. So, yeah, I love to just connect with fans on it. There's obviously a negative side to social media that I try to mentally block out. But yeah, this weekend, you know, I was hoping that everyone was just getting enough of their calcium. Just, you know, that's what I was there for. And I just like to be silly with it. I think it's all fun.
Will, are you going to be trick-or-treating then? Is that a part of the plan tomorrow?
No, I might have another costume or two up my sleeve. So okay. Stay tuned.
have you seen, do you love the movie Clueless? Because that would have come out like kind of right when you were born. Do you know that movie?
Oh, of course. Oh my gosh. We watched that when I have two sisters. We would watch that as kids growing up. Totally. That was like part of our, you know, that was we watched that many, many times. So, yeah, that was part of us growing up. So we loved all those nostalgic, like 90s movies, 2000s movies. And I'd never been her. I know that one's a bit less original. Like that's kind of a typical Halloween costume, but it's also a classic. I usually try to be original and different, which I thought the cow kind of was, you know, people were like, what? You were a cow? You know, you don't really equate a cow as being like a positive thing. Usually it's probably an insult if you get called a cow, but I like to put my own spin on things.
Well, hey, do us a favor. Let us know if you do get an Instagram bump from the KNC masterpiece. like, we're trying to figure out if we're doing a good job here.
Okay, I'll keep you guys posted.
That actually would be quite amazing. I would love to hear that. Now, in addition to the tournament itself, obviously there's going to be a whole lot of there's like a celebrity pickle showdown and everything. What other events are going on while y'all are going to be doing the tournament?
Yeah, no, they're basically turning this into a week-long extravaganza. Like, there are country concerts every single night. That's what I'm most looking forward to. So I don't know how I'm going to balance, like, playing during the day and trying to, like, see these events at night. There's the Pro-Am that you talked about with the celebs playing, so that's really exciting. I'm part of a panel talking about some cool pickleball tennis stuff. I think that's like Wednesday morning. So there's just events all around. So it's more than just pickleball. It's kind of like a fun, I don't know, just like a fun time. Lots going on.
Hey, what's the difference between like MLP and tour events?
Yeah, so MLP is its own league. Then there's the PPA. So I'm signed with the PPA. I do all my tournaments with them. Although I did get drafted to the MLP and I played my first event last week or 2 weeks ago in Vegas. MLP is a team event. So basically it's like two guys and two girls on every team and you play mixed doubles and then like gender doubles. And if it's a tie, only then do you play singles. Okay. Whereas the PPA is like the WTA Tour in tennis. You play, you know, singles, doubles, mixed doubles, and you're kind of like independent. So I'm used to actually more of the PPA, of course, because that's what I played on the WTA for 15 years. And then MLP gives that team atmosphere, which is obviously fun as well.
Back in the day, did you play some team tennis here with Dallas?
Yes. Yes. So actually, MLP reminds me of World Team Tennis, where I actually did play for the Dallas team. We were called the Texas Wild, and we were based in Dallas. And we had some good wins. We beat the Washington Castles, who had, like, been on this crazy winning streak. And I won singles against Martina Hingis, and that's why we won, something like that, if I remember correctly. This was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, well, then this could be a tough follow-up question. Did you have, like, a go-to restaurant or thing that you like to do in Dallas?
You know, that's a tough question from 10 years ago.
Fair.
We did have a Dallas tournament here. I was in Dallas in May for a PPA event, and I went to Komodo and stayed downtown and like kind of, we went to, I also went to one of the hockey playoff games.
Oh, very nice.
And, the Stars. Yeah, we watched them play the Oilers. So, you know, I always like to make the most of wherever I am.
We lost that series.
Okay, that's not her fault. Bring that up. All right. Well, thank you very much for rocking with us and supporting the Stars and supporting Dallas and being here for the World Championships. And we appreciate your time very, very much.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to be there. I'll get there Sunday and get ready to play the tournament.
Awesome.
Perfect. And we'll Instagram you when we find the lot in Italy for the place we're going to start our pizza, pasta, and pickle place.
Perfect. I'll have your people reach out to my people.
All right. Outstanding. There we go. That is awesome.
There you go. Jeannie Bouchard right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We'll keep that between us.
Yeah, we didn't want to let her in on that yet.
On the Cronut thing.
She would have been like, hold on, what is this Cronut thing? And then she's out there. Then she puts it on her Instagram. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
You know?
When she was talking about it's a week-long event, Pickleball World Championships, November 3rd through the 10th. At Brookhaven Country Club and Farmers Branch, the Deep Eddy Vodka Celebrity Pickleball Showdown is going to be November 7th. Dirk's going to be there. John Isner, Jason Kidd. Obviously, Dirk has gotten super into pickleball. And since she referenced it. Yeah.
He loves tennis. I hope his ankle gets fixed at some point in his life.
Since she referenced it, if you want to check out Jeannie Bouchard's take on the cow costume, feel free.
Yeah, I think a couple of people have texted in that they have taken a look.
And okay.
Research.
So, yeah, you got to make sure you do your research.
Very.
I don't even know what she looks like. She just sounds like a nice lady to me.
She was a nice lady. She's fantastic, man.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, I didn't get to this in the C block, but I want to get to this because, you know, sometimes we get upset with you with your jokes. Like, Mike... quality stuff with Take a Load Off. Like that's phenomenal.
Dumbest
your jokes on the
I've
other
heard.
On the other hand drive people nuts. Yeah. And but
you know what the paper said to the cow? Moo. You know, like I'm like, I don't that's
what?
So KSU and Tennessee played a couple of nights ago in ice hockey. I didn't know Tennessee had an ice hockey team. I'll be very honest about
it. Do you know
that.
How you get on the team? You gotta volunteer.
There you go, folks.
Yep.
That's how I feel when you take a load off.
And a couple nights ago, Tennessee beat KSU 10-3.
Did anybody just give Kevin a standing ovation for that cheer?
They beat KSU 10-3. And then the next night, they line them up and beat them again 6-3. And this is what the Tennessee college broadcast, this is their post-game conversation.
I mean, look, this KSU team just did not look good tonight. I'm going to say it. John, what does KSU and the Titanic have in common?
What is that, Charlie?
They both look bad when they hit the ice. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for our game tonight.
Can you imagine
if
Eric Nadel threw a joke out like that in the
Holy
after a game?
Holy moly.
But is that too soon with the Titanic thing?
No, that was like 100 years ago. And I keep seeing this thing pop up in my feed that's like, was it really the Titanic? And I'm like, I'm not clicking on that. I don't know.
You don't want to click on
those? Was it really the Titanic? Is it another boat?
Yeah, because they're like, this boat had a different front. I don't think it was the Titanic.
Here we
and I'm
go.
Like, no.
I'm pretty sure historically we got that one right.
Okay, I'm probably.
There's a lot of information on that one for some reason.
Yeah, there's a whole ship underneath.
That joke was phenomenal.
That was
and
good.
You do support that joke.
I do support that joke.
We even have a movie about the Titanic.
Titanic, yes. Do you know what Blockbuster, when I worked there, used to really focus on? They would come out with similar sounding or like similarly plotted movies. Like I remember for a time when I worked at the video store, we had a Titanic 2.
What?
But it was like, had no James Cameron or Kate Winslet or well, obviously DiCaprio didn't make it, but they weren't in it. And then like when Anaconda came out, we put out like Python, and it felt like Blockbuster had their own like bootleg production company that came out with all of these things like
Snakes on a Plane.
Yes, except that was actually sort of popular.
Snakes on a Cessna. You know?
That is true. I like that. Can we do a little, if we've got time, a little My Buddy's an Idiot?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, 877-881-1053. I made reference to this earlier, but the Dwayne Wade statue, I want to go back to that.
There's no reason to not continue going back to
that.
They
made so much fun of that on Inside the NBA. It was awesome.
It is great.
Because the sculptor, Omri Amrani, he said, quote, "I couldn't do better than that. I don't think anybody else can do better than that. It is what it is, and we will love it forever." He's encouraged people to come and see it. He's proud of it. Says other people will come to love it. what do you think about the doubling down of not only could I not have done any better, no one could have done any better.
Okay, do you happen to have his name?
Yes.
What's his name?
It is, man. It. Yeah, I feel like I should remember it since I just said it.
It's like a big, long name.
It is Omri Omrani.
All right, so I was scrolling through earlier, and I, oh, no, that's not his name. I saw somebody say, whoever did Ed Reed's bust needs to be the sculptor for all statues from now on.
Not the guy who made the Cristiano Ronaldo one.
Yes. And when you look at it, dude, it looks exactly like Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Like, it looks exactly like him. I don't know how somebody could miss this bad on, and, or it, maybe he was just a huge Dirk fan. He was like, I'm just going to play a joke on Dwayne Wade. He missed so badly, but he's out there saying nobody could have done it. Dude, there are better sculptors. There are. I've seen kids use Play-Doh better than that.
Wow.
But you got the money for it, so.
Man, I would like to, Mike, I would love for you to encourage a Play-Doh sculpture contest for Dwayne Wade where they try to do a better job.
I've already said sculpture. I want people to just have fun with that statue when they go there as a Mavs fan.
That's fair. Now, along with this, Lincoln Riley says it's all just an unfortunate coincidence. But USC is closing practice access to reporters for the rest of the season. Media can still interview folks after practice and stuff, but there will be no viewing periods during practice. Reporters are disappointed. The only explanation from USC is Lincoln Riley said that they're using a new itinerary for team practice, and it's different than the one they used before. So they're switching the team periods up. And so, it's unfortunate that it fell so that the media doesn't get to watch. So the media accidentally lost their access to USC practice. Do you believe that is factually accurate?
I think coaches do these kinds of things on purpose all the time. They're trying to hold on to any power they have. More and more coaches are becoming less powerful within their own organizations. In college, maybe they have more because they get to decide if you play or not and go on to the next level. But I think they're always trying to grasp at whatever they can to keep other people at bay if they want, especially when they don't agree with them.
Now, my buddy's an idiot. Do you think people who don't make their way out to Grand Prairie to Whataburger today who want a G-bag flag are idiots? 2630 South State Street, 161 in Grand Prairie. This is your last stop for the G-bag Nation Flagtober Tour. And we always get people after the fact that are like, oh, hey, I want a flag. Here's your shot.
Yeah. Do you like Broadus?
I do.
He's going to be there. Why did you make that face when I asked that question, Mike?
Maybe some people don't.
Okay.
Not everybody's liked.
That's true.
Everybody doesn't like.
You would have thought
person.
This would have been the easiest, like, tee it up. And
if you don't like Broadus, I suggest not going out there.
But or
unless
or,
you really like the other.
But if you like the other guys, let Broadus know you're my fourth favorite. But say it as like a compliment. You're my fourth favorite on this show.
Yeah, and Broadus will probably he'll be like, well, I appreciate being on the list.
Yeah,
you know. Do you like Dawson?
I do.
Then there's a great reason. Yeah. Why are you making that face again, Mike?
Maybe not everybody likes Gavin Dawson.
How did this layup of a promotion
let him know
fall You're apart so favorite. Quickly?
Or third. I don't know exactly where that person is.
Yeah, maybe you like somebody less than him.
Do you like Chiafalo?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I get Mike's point. I get Mike's point on that one. Take it or leave it.
Okay, so okay,
yeah,
hold
the
on.
Big fan
yeah,
of the other ones. I like Wolchuk.
Like
I like
Wolchuk?
Lucius.
Why are you making that face again when I asked
Maybe
about
people don't like Wolchuk. I've heard of people. I don't like Wolchuk.
Jesus Christ.
But this is the great thing. Like, this is the great thing about getting out to Grand Prairie. Again, just like Mike said, you can tell them that they're your favorite.
Yeah, Kevin,
or your
everybody favorite. Doesn't like you.
I am aware.
Guess what? There's a lot of people who don't like me.
I'm also aware of that. I might be Absolutely. One of those people at this particular moment. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Or you can heckle them. Don't do it while they're
Hopefully
on air.
Hopefully you like Whataburger. If not, you're not from the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Go vote somewhere else.
Get one of those flags, though.
Isn't that what you said, Kevin, to tell the people?
No! Why would I ever say that?
off the record.
No, I don't know. First of all, no. Second of all, you might not understand how off the record works.
Well, yeah, it means I say it for you.
Oh my God.
No. But,
all right,
but
so
don't quote him.
Yeah, I'm not quoting what Kevin told me.
Just saying what I'm summarizing what I was told.
I'm just trying to help Kevin out by he saying that you should.
How in this segment have you helped me out at all? How?
You should rank the G-Bag Nation people. Yeah, I got this genie girl to go to Italy with us.
Yeah. And we got a business model.
Yeah. Do you want to be in the Cronut thing? We'll let you in on it if you want.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
He's only in on the pizza, pasta, and pickle.
You're going to make a killing off the Cronuts, dude.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
It's their socialism over there. Are you okay with that?
Good freaking God. You are on the air still.
I've stated a fact. Italy is social.
Let's talk to the G-Bag Nation. I guess live
talking to each other, I think.
At Whataburger. You know what? Maybe I'll ask each G-Bag member to rank the rest of the G-Bag members.
I like that idea.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe we'll do that in Crosstalk. Who the hell knows? Next on The Fan.
Now here's the 1-1 to Glaber. A fly ball to deep right. That's going back. That ball is gone. He hits a 3-run home run to blow this game apart. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, we take you to Whataburger for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Obviously, people should always come and see you, but where are you and why is it so important that people come see you today?
It's the final day of Flagtober. Heggy, good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
We have over 100 Whataburger flags. The final remaining flags are available right now here at Whataburger Grand Prairie off 161, the one by the Walmart.
Now,
who out Whataburgered Hoomst on the show, though? Oh. Have y'all decided that yet?
I think I've won so far.
Yeah. Nice.
Burger, cinnamon roll, shake, and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Single patty, double patty.
He singled it.
Single patty burger.
He's a single guy.
All right. Now we're just getting warmed up over here. We got iced coffees.
Okay, yes. Good.
Don't you worry.
Try these new peppermint iced coffees that are coming out next week. They're delectable.
This peppermint shake that they're having on Tuesday, my gosh. If I got hit by a car right now, it'd be all worth it.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. It would be the final drink I ever had. That thing right there is glorious.
I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm glad that you love the drink.
Yeah.
That'd be a heck of a commercial.
It would.
I could hit by a car to have another peppermint shake.
Now,
I tell you what, Bassick, I might. I might just walk out there right now and do it.
Are they going fast enough to hurt you?
They might.
How slow does a car have to go to hit you that you're going to, like 10 miles an hour? You stand in front of a car.
It's probably still going to hurt. A car weighs like a ton.
I hit a jogger one time.
What the hell's happening?
He bounced up on the hood. Yeah.
Was he okay?
Yeah, he just kind of gave me the thumbs up and kept rolling.
About it. How big is Larry Allen? If he's only running 10
miles.
Yeah, okay,
was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If he's only running 10 miles an hour.
Okay. I'm really sorry. Somebody dressed up as Deadpool just walked in. I feel like it could be Derek Holland. I don't know.
He has a bigger ass.
That's true.
Much of a butt.
Will or CA?
Okay. Hold on.
Think about hitting somebody. A human hitting somebody at 10 miles an hour is not going to hurt. You got to go faster than that.
Fair. I don't know what you want me to say. Now, on the other...
talking about getting hit by a car.
On the other side of the segment, we had the very simplistic idea of pitching people to go see y'all at Whataburger.
Yes, we did.
Mike decided to make it turn just a little bit by saying, who knows, maybe you don't like Brian Broaddus. And one by one said, maybe you don't like each individual person on the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah.
And then that turned into a power rank the people on the G-Bag Nation.
Wow.
And Corey would like you guys to power rank each other.
Wow. Well, clearly the best is Brian. You know, because he used to work in the NFL, and he's really good at taking care of people and making food.
He's a Super Bowl champion.
Would have been five for me.
And, you know, after that, we're all tied for second.
That was strong, boys. It was strong. Hagee, even though you're lukewarm on me, I'm hot as ever on you. I want you to know that.
As you should be. Now,
I got a fun World Series factoid for you. Want to get y'all's take on this and the World Series in general. In 2020, Samantha Braxiak, who eventually went on to marry Aaron Judge, she got an extreme DUI after getting readings of 0.169 and 0.181. Do you think it's weird that those readings are higher than Aaron Judge's batting average in the World Series thus far?
You know, I just think it's one of those things in baseball where anybody can have a bad like 15 at bats, mm-hmm. and if it happens to you in the World Series, people like assign it a significant narrative. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into it if it's the first time through. I mean, if you have an A-Rod or Barry Bonds like run in the postseason for over a decade, then I think it's accurate. I think right now though, it just looks like bad luck.
I think the Dodgers pitchers have been pretty damn good this series.
Agreed.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I think yesterday.
I'd like to know.
It was a bullpen game, right?
Yeah, that's their last bullpen game. If it has to go seven, they have starting pitchers for the next three.
Yeah, get that parade route going there on Rodeo Drive. Get ready for that.
Was that a wild college night for the wife there, or do we know any of the details on that particular?
Oh, yeah, girl.
This was only 4 years ago, so I'm not sure how old she is. I'll go look that back up. But they're married now, and so... You know, hopefully things are good. All right, Broadus, you just said you feel like the World Series is about to wrap up. For the rest of y'all, do you think the Dodgers close it out tonight?
They will close it out. I don't think tonight. I kind of think Flaherty overachieved his first time through. I think he might get rocked a little bit tonight. You got Garrett Cole on the bump. I think this thing goes back to L.A., but it's done in six.
Yeah, hard to bet against Garrett Cole there.
Yeah.
Best pitcher and all that. It does seem like the Dodgers are going to get this done eventually. But
I just wonder, I know this sounds weird, but does New York want to get on a 6.5 hour flight tonight?
God, you would hope for a chance to win the World Series.
I do think that human nature sets in a little bit. Let's just say it's the seventh inning and you're down by a run or two. You don't quit. I'm not saying that at all. But your mind can wander in sports at times. And like,
Mike, you said it today, though, that you didn't think the game was over when it was 6-4, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a ball player mentality, isn't it?
I think that there is so talking to the Texas Rangers, okay, they had lost Scherzer. They had lost Garcia. But they felt like, we're not going back to Texas to play another game. We're winning it now. And they felt like from the other side, Arizona down 3-1 had somewhat lost their confidence and lost their, like, a little bit of their fight. Even though, look, it's 0-0 through five innings. Gallen's throwing, I believe, a perfect game through five, or if I'm remembering it right. And so I'm not saying that New York's going to quit. And I'm not saying I would bet on the Dodgers, but I just sometimes those thoughts of you've been through a whole bunch, and they showed a lot of fight last night. That was great by them, because as soon as Freddie Freeman hit the home run, I thought it's over. Like it is over. This is deja vu all over again. And they were able to fight back and win that game.
I think credit to the Yankee fan. He lit a fire under those guys.
And he got his dumbass kicked out of the game.
Well, yeah, he did.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice for the betterment of the team.
Thank you. It was a great moment for him, for the entire ballpark. And again, I think there was a newfound energy in that dugout.
I agree with what Mike's saying, though. I think that's just a built-in reason late to maybe, you know, let the season, your last opportunity, slip through your fingers. I think if the Yankees are going to win tonight and make a series out of this, they got to come out, get up early, and then the positive vibes are flowing. Then you're looking at that 6.5 hour flight like you're just high-fiving your bros, getting ready to, you know, go kick ass and finish the fight. I think, but if you're down, it's like, oh, it's just not our year. I think that could take away some of your, you know, resiliency in those late innings. Mental toughness.
How impressive did you think that Mavs win was last night on a turnaround on the road against a really good team?
Yeah, after they shot the lights out, you know, especially Anthony Edwards there in the first half. I think it's a huge statement win. You know, the way that they changed their basketball team, the fact that you really undressed them in the finals, in the Western Conference finals. You know, I think this was a showdown. And what it really demonstrated to me is that once again, you don't need a great game from Luka anymore to win. And it was just like 14 months ago we were talking about, hey, if Luka doesn't go off, then you don't have much of a chance to win. But, you know, what I think this shows is that as a team, the Mavs are highly focused to go out there and try to dominate the league. And really, as a point of pride, they're going out there and competing almost with a playoff energy. You can't quite replace that, but these guys are locked in. And maybe it's not going to be wire-to-wire first place like my bold prediction was opening night. Before too long, I think they're going to find themselves in first place and hold on to it until the end.
Where are y'all again, and what's coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, yes. Thanks for asking, Hagee. We are at Whataburger in Grand Prairie off of 161, 2630 Highway 161. And we got all kinds of greatness, including Brian taking his first look at the Falcons on tape coming up at 340 there in Krusty's Corner.
Love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them at the final Flagtober spot.
Do it.
We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.